Leading Ideas Talks podcast is brought to you by the Lewis Center for Church Leadership of Wesley Theological Seminary in Washington, D.C. Subscribe free to our weekly e-newsletter, Leading Ideas, at churchleadership.com/leadingideas. Leading Ideas Talks is also brought to you by Be the Welcoming Church. With this engaging video resource, you'll learn how your church can make visitors feel truly welcome and comfortable through best practices for developing welcoming worship, church buildings, congregations, and websites. Learn more about Be the Welcoming Church and watch sample videos at churchleadership.com/be the welcoming church. What's different for churches after 2 years of struggling through the pandemic? And how can churches best respond to the challenges of an evolving ministry context? In this episode, Tony Morgan shares trends, perspectives, and strategies drawn from his work with scores of congregations across the country and abroad.
I'm Ann Michael. I'm one of the editors of Leading Ideas e-newsletter, and I'm the host for this episode of Leading Ideas Talks. I'm delighted to be talking today with Tony Morgan, who's the founder and chief strategist of the Unstuck Group. He's a consultant and a coach and a blogger and a writer and really a thought leader who has his finger on key trends related to church health and church growth. And so I'm so happy to be talking to you today, Tony, about challenges and opportunities for ministry at this, I think, very unique juncture in the life of most churches. So welcome to you.
It's very good to be with you, Anne, and that's a very kind introduction as well. I will just let everybody know up front, I'm not very good at predicting the future, but I think I'm pretty decent at looking what's happened at the past and current trends, and I guess that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, that's the only way we have to predict the future, isn't it? To just understand right. What's happening in the here and now and make our best guesses. So in that vein, I wanted to begin by asking you a really kind of broad brush question. And that is, you know, we all know that different churches have weathered the challenges of the pandemic crisis in different ways. But speaking very generally, what do you think is most different in the overall context of ministry right now as a consequence of 2 years of coping with the pandemic?
Well, it's interesting because I would actually go back even before the pandemic, and it was very obvious even a few years ago that there were some churches that were actually seeing a lot of health. They were thriving. There was a lot of momentum around their ministry. And as a result of that, I think they were seeing a lot of life transformation that was happening as people were taking steps not only towards the church, but towards a relationship with Jesus. And at the same time, there were a number of churches that were in decline. They were plateaued. They were in decline. They were just not seeing they weren't just seeing declining attendance, that they just weren't seeing a lot of life change happening either. And I think confirmation maybe over the last few years of what we've noticed as a result of the pandemic is all of that distinction between healthy churches and declining churches, I think, just has been accelerated based on what we've experienced in the pandemic. And I think that might be to a large extent because a lot of times what we found even before the pandemic is the churches that were able to kind of look at our context, our current context, and then recommit to the things that were working as part of our mission, but be willing to change then as a result of the circumstances around us, those tended to be the healthiest churches. And now, because we've experienced so much disruption through the last few years, I think the churches that are able to identify this is what's working, this is what allows us to accomplish what God's called us to do in our mission as a church, they've doubled down on those things, but at the same time, have continued to remain open-handed with the areas that need to shift because of what we've experienced. And those churches, they seem to be thriving on this side of the pandemic as well.
So what you're saying is that the churches that were the most adaptable were the healthiest before the pandemic and also the most healthy coming out of the pandemic, which makes total sense. I mean, I think in so many areas of life in general, but church life too, what we've seen is that the pandemic really just revealed and accelerated trends that were already underway.
Very much so.
Probably the most prominent of those is the issue of attendance. And so I wanted to focus for a minute on the question of attendance. From what I've seen and read and experienced, there are very few churches whose in-person attendance has rebounded to pre-pandemic levels. And I think that's true for a whole variety of reasons. But I wanted to ask you what you're seeing with regard to attendance and what you're recommending to your clients with regard to their in-person attendance.
Yeah, so the biggest thing is we're trying to encourage pastors, church leaders, let's stop comparing our attendance to where we were 2 or 3 years ago. But instead, let's get back to what we were encouraging church leaders to consider even before the pandemic, which is just look at where we are compared to a year ago, because that gives us a picture of the trends that are happening currently. And as a result of that, you know, if we were to take today and go back 12 months from now, there are some churches, not a lot of churches, but there are some churches now that are seeing year over year growth again. And to me, that's encouraging and that's worth celebrating. At the same time, there's no doubt about it. Churches are number one, not seeing the attendance patterns that they saw before COVID. But secondly, there are still churches that are declining even at this point in the pandemic. In other words, if we were to look at their attendance today, even going back to 12 months ago, when we were still in the middle of COVID and facing a lot of the challenges, in fact, I would argue a lot more restrictions a year ago than we're facing today, there are still churches that are seeing decline. And that's where I think we need to be paying attention. If here we are more than 2 years into COVID and our attendance patterns are still declining at this point, that suggests that hopefully those are the red lights that are going off on the dashboard that indicate, hey, wait a second, we may need to look at things a little bit differently than we did last year or even a few years ago. It might be time for us to pay attention to how we're engaging our mission and specifically around how we're intentionally trying to reach new people, people that are outside the church and outside the faith. And this is where we're hearing from churches that are winning in this season, that they're actually seeing a lot of new people coming to churches right now. For the churches that are intentional around that, and they're thinking about not only their Sunday worship experiences and how those have to be designed with new people in mind, but they're looking at other aspects of their ministry strategy as well. And they're actually seeing a lot of new people coming to church in this season. And it's those stories, I think, that we really need to pay attention to right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sometimes wonder if there's a little bit of a pent-up demand, you know, that some people, you know, maybe were holding off on thinking about starting coming to a church until it felt safe to do so. I don't know.
So as an example of that, Anne, I couldn't agree more. I mean, we studied the data from all the churches that we're working with and many more churches around the country and really around the world. But my volunteer job, if you will, at the church, I serve in, we call it the connection space, and it's the place where oftentimes people that are brand new to the church come either before or after the services. And just this past Sunday, I met with some people, a variety of folks, some that were new to the area, and because of that, they're trying to find a new church. And there is a lot of movement happening around our country right now, so that shouldn't be a surprise. There were people that have been watching services online for years, and for whatever reason, this past Sunday, they just decided we're actually going to go to church for the service. But the more common thing, man, that I'm hearing in these anecdotal conversations I'm having with people is they're dealing with challenges of life that to some extent all of us have experienced, where it's not just churches that have been disrupted, but people's lives have been disrupted over these last couple of years. And issues of isolation and loneliness and stress and anxiety, job loss, trying to figure out what they're going to do next in life, relational breakdowns because of what we've gone through in the last couple of years. And as a result of that, people, they're searching, I think, for answers. I think they're searching for relationships with other people to help walk them through these situations. And I just love the fact that they're showing up to church on Sunday morning to try to pursue whatever that is that they're sensing is out there for them. I think they sense there may be a spiritual answer to this, and they're actually showing up to church on Sunday morning, which we should expect. I don't know why we're surprised by that, but I think you're right, especially given what we've experienced the last couple of years. You know, at the very beginning of the pandemic, and I'm not naturally an optimistic person, I was concerned for churches and what this would do, not only for people connecting to churches, but the financial ramifications and things like that. But what I kept sensing is this could actually be one of the biggest opportunities that the church has experienced in a long, long time. And as I'm having these conversations with people on Sunday morning, I think this is maybe an answer to that prayer that I started to pray a few years ago or a couple of years ago at the beginning of COVID, that we might actually see revival in the church as a result of what we've gone through as a society over the last couple of years. So that's pretty encouraging for me.
Yeah, it's certainly been a jumpstart to or a wake-up call for a lot of congregations to really think about how they're engaging people and to move into the digital realm for churches that have been dragging their feet on that for a very, very long time. That's actually the next thing that I wanted to ask about. You know, I mean, everybody's talking about hybrid ministry, and it's almost a buzzword. And I think that really means different things to different people and in different contexts. And so I kind of wondered, what are some of the more successful patterns of hybrid ministry that you're seeing emerging?
Yeah, so I do think at the same time that everybody's talking about it, that this can be very overwhelming for pastors and church leaders too, that have not, I mean, none of us were trained to be online churches, right?
Right.
And so let me share, I mean, just some of the basics that I'm seeing in the churches that seem to be getting some traction around online ministry. Number one, they're not trying to replace everything that they do as a church online. And I think this is important for us to recognize, because especially all of those kind of next steps that we encourage people to take after they find faith, after they begin their relationship with Jesus, where we really need to experience spiritual formation through our discipleship strategies, that is a highly relational ministry that needs to happen. In other words, it's very difficult for us to become more like Jesus and to take our next steps towards Christ if we're not in relationship with other people. And honestly, it's very hard to replicate that online. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, what we're seeing in churches that are winning as far as their online ministry is concerned, they've recognized there's a lot of opportunity to connect with brand new people using online platforms. And so for people that are not in church currently, may not be a part of the faith currently, the churches that we're working with that are finding some momentum around their digital strategies are recognizing this really is the new front door for churches. And so first principle is, rather than trying to replace everything that we do as a church in our buildings and put everything online, I would just encourage pastors and church leaders, let's just focus on the front door aspects of what we do. How can we leverage online to connect with people that aren't currently a part of our church? And honestly, that's probably not just putting our services online. In fact, there may be some other things that we could be doing around leveraging YouTube and podcasting and just providing practical articles and things like that. Putting that type of content online so that our people in our congregation want to share that with their friends, with their network of friends, that those are going to be the things that maybe help us get a little bit more traction around our digital ministry strategies. The second key principle, though, is this, and I'll allow you to jump in here, but I get kind of passionate about this topic, Anne, is I think sometimes we forget, even online ministry, it's all about people, and it's all about ministry. I think we let the online part about that get in the way sometimes. And as pastors and church leaders, we know how to do ministry. We know the mission that God's called us to, and we know how to help people. And so I think sometimes we get caught up in all of the razzle dazzle of social media and websites and podcasting and all the technology and so on. And what we need to do is just kind of go back to what we do well, which is helping people take their next steps towards Jesus. And then if we have questions about the technology itself, there are all kinds of organizations and people out there that can help us take ministry and leverage the right technologies to make that happen. But I think sometimes what we do is we think we have to be the experts on the technology, and we've not been trained to do that. What we've been trained to do is to help people take their next steps toward Christ. And so let's find the experts that can help us with the technology, and let's stick to what God's called us to do, which is to help people find Jesus and take their next steps of faith.
Yeah, those are both really, really, I think, helpful points, because I think there are so many churches that are right now imagining that they have to replicate every single thing that their church does to make it available both in person and online. And there are very few churches that have the bandwidth, I think, to That's do right. that. Yeah. So I'm relieved to hear you say that. I took a look at the Unstuck Group's most recent quarterly report, and I was really intrigued by what it had to say about staffing levels. And so if I can share with our listeners one of the conclusions, it said that declining churches employ 56% more full-time equivalent employees than growing churches, which I think, you know, could suggest that the church's staffing levels and configurations might actually be a drag on growth. And so I wanted to give you a chance to speak to that and maybe share some thoughts about what does it mean to be staffed for growth?
Yeah, so let me just first say the solution to become a healthy, thriving, growing church isn't just to go into your office and fire a bunch of staff.
Right.
But it does probably speak to some underlying challenges or issues that you will need to overcome. And a few quick ones come to mind. The most obvious maybe is that when churches are overstaffed, what that commonly means is they're not leaning on people in their church, their congregation, volunteers, lay people to engage in ministry themselves. And it's interesting, as we've looked at some complementary data around volunteer engagement, what we find is that volunteers are more likely to show up to church on a more consistent basis. They're more likely to invite friends, neighbors, family to join them at church. And I think part of that is just because they feel like they're more invested in the mission of the church. And then, I mean, it's dollars and cents too. It's amazing when we've looked at the financial giving records. It's people that are serving in ministry in some capacity are giving at the highest levels of anybody else in the church.
Oh yeah. And I work in stewardship ministry, and that's well proven that the people who are, the more active you are, the more you give.
So all that to say, it's when you start to look at some of the data and some of these factors, it doesn't surprise me that churches that are overstaffed tend to struggle more than the churches that are lean in their staffing. And I think what happens when churches are lean in their staffing, they do a few things. But number one, they recognize we can't just hire a lot of people to do ministry. We need to hire people that are going to lead other volunteer leaders and help build volunteer teams to get ministry accomplished through other people. And as a result of that, not only are they hiring higher capacity people, but they also then have more financial resources to compensate fewer people better. And so I think that also helps with retaining high capacity leaders. And my suspicion is if we retain great leaders on our staff team and you have that continuity of staff leadership over time, that also produces health and momentum in our ministry. So there are probably a lot of compounding factors here, Anne, but it really, I mean, I think most of us, if we didn't really process and think about this, would just assume that one of the reasons why some churches are growing and some are not is because they can afford to hire more staff.
Right.
But the reality is it's the inverse that's true.
Yeah.
So it's just fascinating when you start to dive into these details.
Yeah, I think often one of the consequences of a church being overstaffed is that the staff has to spend so much time, more time coordinating with one another, and the senior leader has to spend so much more time managing their staff that it leads to an inward focus.
It sure does.
Yeah. Well, while we're on the subject, since you mentioned retention, you know, I'm sure you've seen some of the stories in the popular press about so many pastors quitting ministry in droves. And yet there's been other research that suggests that maybe that trend isn't quite as dire as some are saying. And so I wondered what you're seeing in your work. You know, how much is the Great Resignation impacting the pastorate and the church workplace?
So, we've in the last 12 months worked with more than 100 churches on the ground and helping them look at ministry strategy and how they're structuring for the future and so on. And I mean, anecdotally, I am hearing there does seem to be a little bit more transition happening on staff teams in recent months. I think honestly, Anne, a lot of that probably had to do with, and it's kind of, we don't want to go back and remember the early days of COVID. But back in those early days, I think people, most of us we just had no idea what might happen. And so as a result of that, we went about a year where nobody was really changing jobs because they were concerned about, you know, if I quit my job, am I going to be able to find a job? And again, that was early on in COVID. And so we went about a year without a lot of transition happening on staff teams, even in the context of churches. And so some of this transition that we're experiencing in most recent months, I just think is because of that pent up demand, if you will, of people just looking to change and take a next step in their ministry or in their career, if you will.
Okay. So people might have been frozen in place for the first year. Yeah. And now
The other compounding factor, though, is even before COVID, I think people were starting to see that, especially in pastoral positions, there was an aging that was happening.
Well, we're well aware of that. That's a trend that we research and track pretty closely. the aging.
So as a result of that, I am talking with a lot of pastors that are considering succession and transition, but honestly, they should be talking about it because they're in their early to mid 60s and it's time. It's time to pass off ministry to the next generation. And so, it's hard to say how much of this is COVID related and how much of this is just a factor of it's time for us to be passing on leadership, passing on ministry to the next generation. But it is a topic that is coming up in my conversations with pastors and church leaders.
So another thing that struck me in your quarterly report was that a lot of the financial indicators looked pretty good. And, you know, I think the pool of churches you work with probably is not entirely representative of all churches, but I'm aware of other research as well that suggests that a lot of churches probably weathered the pandemic financially a lot better than we might have imagined. And so I wanted to ask you why you think that is and what congregations can learn that might help them keep their financial house in better order.
Yeah. So, yeah, a few things. One, just practically speaking, of course, recalling the government kind of stepped in to help all organizations with the Payroll Protection Program. And that certainly was helpful to churches as well, that the churches that participated. The other factor is for a number of months, ministries weren't meeting in physical spaces, and there were some cost savings, expenses that churches would normally experience that they didn't incur for a time too. So that could be an explanation. But I will say this, I mean, there the averages, if we were just to look at the averages, it would suggest that, you know, giving patterns and so on are really on par with where they were even pre-pandemic. But there are extremes to that data too. So there are some churches that were far better as far as giving and finances are concerned on this side of the pandemic. And on the other hand, if you were to look at all the data, there are churches that are really hurting financially too. And I would say the biggest factor that we're seeing is the churches that kind of leaned in to the crisis moment, not only for their communities, for people's lives, and demonstrated early on, we're not going to hunker down and just try to survive COVID. We are going to lean in and figure out as a ministry, how can we engage people? How can we help our community in this season? And ironically, the churches that had an intentional strategy to really invest in the community in the season and to be on mission during this season, those are the churches I'm hearing that have come out financially in a better place. And that's, to me, that's good news, because it's as if God's honoring the churches that have been fully invested and handled resources well, been good stewards of resources during this season. It appears that those churches are coming out on the other side of COVID in a very healthy place financially. On the other hand, it's interesting, the churches that tended to hunker down the last couple of years and were almost in survival mode, just trying to figure out how are we going to continue to do what we've always done, those churches, anecdotally, what I'm hearing are the churches that are more oftentimes than not struggling financially in this season too. So to me,
mission is always important to raising money.
That's right.
There's no doubt about
that's
that.
That's right.
I want to thank you for sharing so many really, I think, helpful perspectives and ideas. I also, I just have to comment that I thought there was so much optimism. You said you're not an optimistic person, but as I read your report and as I talked to you today, it did seem like there were a lot of optimistic notes in what you're sharing. And so I thank you for that word of hope as well. And so thank you again.
Thank you, Anne. It's been great to have the conversation with you. And boy, if there's any way that we can help any of the leaders that are connected to your podcast, we would like to come alongside them and help them consider in this unique season, what are the next steps that God has for your ministry? We'd love to partner with them and help explore what God could be doing through your church or your ministry in this coming season.
Thanks for joining us for Leading Ideas Talks. Please like and subscribe to this channel and click the bell icon to get updates for new videos.